Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
To get us into what this is about tonight, David and... Okay, I thought you were going to say Bathsheba. But yeah, thank you for saying Goliath. You have had, you've had the alert that that's what was going to be. And that story, by the way, in the Bible, we're going to read part of it in just a moment. That story is one of the favorites of kids. And it's a whole lot more than here is the underdog who beats the bully. But it goes even deeper. You don't have to have all the resources on the outside if you have the Lord on the inside. You can face the most fearsome giants in all of the world and not be afraid, even though you're shaking in your boots perhaps when you look at them, because when the Lord is on your side, guess who's going to win? But we're going to go even deeper into a bigger battle, and that's the cosmic battle, because there's that greater son of David who is Jesus Christ, and he faces that spiritual giant, that spiritual Goliath named Satan. So let's get our narrative up to date. We start at the beginning, square one. What happened at the beginning was, what's the word? Creation, followed by what? The fall, okay, and then to cleanse the earth came the, and then the nations after the tower, and they're dispersed in languages, and then I'm pointing up for Abraham, you know, going to be like the stars, it's such a multitude, who had a son named Isaac, and the covenant promise goes from Abraham, goes through Isaac, and then it goes through Jacob, who has the 12 sons, including number 11, whose name is Joseph, who ends up second in command after a series of nasty old things by his brothers, his big brothers, who bully him. He ends up second in command in all of Egypt, with only the Pharaoh ahead of him. And then the rest of them follow into Egypt until they become slaves. They are in bondage. God sends someone, his name is Moses, who had been a shepherd, once a prince, then a shepherd. But now he says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, No. God then sends 10 plagues against 10 gods and goddesses of Egypt. And then finally, they are set free to go. They come to the Red Sea, and God opens up the Red Sea. They pass through as on dry land, but they wander in the wilderness for 40 years after they come to that place, or before they, right after they cross over, they come to Mount Sinai. 10 commandments, remember 10 commandments, offerings and feasts and Levites and priests. And then they wander for 40 years in the wilderness because of their disobedience. They're worshiping a golden calf. And then Moses dies, and in their place is a commander by the name of Joshua. Okay, you're still following me, still awake? Okay, Joshua crosses over the Jordan River. They take the land, divide and conquer. And then finally, Joshua draws them together, and he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Comes now a period of time called the judges. People like Deborah and Gideon, I'm squeezing out that sheepskin, and then is Samuel, and of course the strong guy, what was his name again? The really strong guy. Samson, okay. And following that comes a period of the kings. Now, we're going to talk about three different kings. We started last week. The first one is Saul, who has no heart for God. And then comes David, who has a whole heart. And then in 2 weeks, you're going to hear about Solomon, who has half of a heart for God. So here we are. Now today, we're going to be looking at this first king who was head and shoulders above all the others. And the Spirit of the Lord, however, because of his disobedience, the Spirit of the Lord departed from King Saul. And God sent Samuel then to anoint David. Well, he was still a teenager to be the king, but it's going to be a few years before he is able to take the throne and assume that responsibility. But in the meantime, there are the Philistines. You might call them Philistines, Philistines, I don't care. I just call them Philistines. We did when I was a little kid, so I can't get rid of that. All right, and they have the Philistines and the children of Israel are on two mountains facing each other, and below is that valley of Elah, that valley of Elah. And every day, this guy named Goliath, who is even head and shoulders above King Saul, he shouts out his challenge. He said, you pick one man, you pick a champion, I'll be the champion for the Philistines. We will fight each other. Why should all of you guys, you know, risk your lives and all of our people risk our lives? If I win, you will become our slaves. If you win, we all will become your slaves. Yeah, like they're going to do that, huh? Okay, so there they are. And then two times a day, that challenge goes out. And the people of Israel, those soldiers, they're just shaking in their boots, and no one offers to come forward and challenge that Goliath. And now enters David. David. He is Jesse's son, and Jesse sent him, hey, kid, go to your older brothers who are serving under Saul in the army there. Here's some food for them, and then to their commander, here's something for them, for that guy too. So when he came, and he looked, and he saw that giant, and he listened, the booming voice of that giant, and he looked, and he listened as that challenge is put out there, and he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? Okay, that's our scene. Now take your Bible in hand, and with me, let's say what it is that we believe about this book. The Bible I hold is God's word from cover to cover. It makes me wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training me how to live. I need to read, listen, and learn from this foundation laid by God. This is most certainly true. Amen. And in the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, we're going to read several of the verses, picking up where I stopped in my narrative. Okay, chapter 17, verse 31. What, page 306? Okay. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul. By the way, what were the words that David had said? He said, what is the king going to do for the one who kills that giant? What are all the benefits? What are all the perks? So he said, tell me again. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by the beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor. And he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. Then he took the staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Okay, the word of the Lord. Well, getting into the story, now I want you to think about someone that may have been a mentor for you. Maybe it was a favorite teacher, a favorite professor, a boss, a coach, someone that really, you really wanted to please that person. As a matter of fact, because this person really deserved your loyalty and your labors, and you would do anything for this person. Now, I want you to think of David as the one who would do anything for his hero. And you know who his hero was? It was not Saul. It wasn't anybody on this. It wasn't even his dad. It was God's. You see, he had a relationship with God. That was an incredible relationship. So even though he was young, even though he was still a teenager, he already had a deep and a very personal relationship with God. Now think about this. As a shepherd boy going out there, he had to leave behind at home his iPad and his iPhone and all of those things, so he didn't have any distractions. He didn't have any distractions. As a matter of fact, his only companion was God. The only thing he had was his staff in his hand. He had his sling, of course, and he had his lyre, his little harp. And so he would sing songs to God. He would think about God. He would meditate upon him. He would remember all the things that he had been taught as a little child. And he would just be singing to the Lord. As a matter of fact, he has been the greatest songwriter in all of human history. So he had a very deep relationship to God. And he also knew that God was his defender. Because when you're out there in that wilderness, there can be marauding animals. There can be wolves and bears and lions and all those things. Now, when he got then and was assigned by his dad to go to that valley of Elah and check on his brothers, he is stunned when he got there. Not just at the arrogance of Goliath, who would defy the armies of the living God, but more so was he stunned that not one Israelite stepped forward to say, I'm going to try to cut that guy down to size. Well, God is in process now of raising up a savior-champion to go against those who would defy him. There is going to be one man who represents the Philistines, and there will be one man who represents the people of God. By the way, this is a little Jesus alert here. Can you see? I think I see Jesus in there. Jesus, one who is willing to stand for all of humanity and take the risk and enter the battle and take that whole thing on. Now, thinking about David, there were 3 things that were really important. The first was David's readiness for the battle. It was his reasons for the battle and his resources for the battle. So let's look at the readiness for the battle. And in that readiness for the battle, okay, here's young David, and he's checking things out there at Valley of Elah. He hears the taunt from Goliath, and he wanders about amidst the people of the army. What's going on here? What's going to be done for the one who kills this giant? And words about this gets to King Saul. Hey, there's a young guy. He's asking all kinds of questions. Bring him here. I want to see him. And so, having seen what he saw and heard what he heard from Goliath, he is more than ready. He's got the readiness to go into the battle because he's got motivation. Part of his readiness is in his attitude of faith. And I wonder how many times we kind of compromise that and we just do what we want to do instead of having that readiness that comes from a motivation to serve the Lord. So Saul looked at that guy, that little guy. He is not impressed in the least. He says, you're not ready for this. You're just a kid. No way you've got a chance against this giant. And think about this. the risk for us. If you lose, we all lose. Whoa, are you sure you want to go ahead with this? I don't think I should let you do this, but he's got a secret. And he tells Saul what the secret is. He says, the Lord sees not as a man sees. The Lord looks, or man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And God had chosen David all along for this very event. He was raising up that champion, that Savior champion for his people. God was ready. And if God is ready, then David is ready. Keep that in mind. Just like David's greater son, Jesus, who had come to be the Savior of humanity, all people. Now, when Pontius Pilate looked at this bound and beaten and humiliated man standing in front of him with a crown of thorns and all of that, he said, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Yeah, my kingdom is not of this world. It's not what you see on the outside. It's what the Lord is doing, what the Lord has prepared." Jesus was ready. He knew the stakes. He knew that there would be pain. He knew there would be suffering. He had committed himself, however, to one thing. Even more than committing himself to death on the cross, he committed himself to the Father's will. You know what the Christian church could use? Yeah, a few more people committed to the Father's will. And where do you think he's looking around, huh? Where do you think he's looking? "Will I see anybody," he says, "committed to the Father's will?" Okay, David had not only had readiness for the battle, now he's got reasons for the battle. The first reason is he's got zeal for God. He was outraged at the challenge of Goliath. Who is he to defy the living God? He had zeal for God's name. He had zeal for God's reputation. He wanted the glory of God more than he wanted anything else. And if our God is with us, then, well, who can ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then who can stand against us? Huh? Our God, what about our God? Our God is greater, our God is stronger, and our God, God, you are higher, higher than any other. And David, David knew that. He knew that this God could do it. So he had that zeal for this God. Now the people of Israel, they had forgotten about their whole story. Why are we the people of Israel? Why do we exist? It is because God had done something incredible. He had opened up the Red Sea. He had defended them so far against all the enemies. He had given them that land, and they forgot that. They forgot the promises of God. They forgot the power of God. And here is David with his zeal. He remembers the story. He remembers the power of God. Now he's got the desire to deliver from danger. He's got the desire to do this. He's going to deliver them. David, as that shepherd, had kept his flock safe. He was reminded about the fact that he had taken on enemies that were bigger than himself, more vicious than himself. And he explained it to Saul, and he was not going to be intimidated. He would interpose himself between the enemy and the people of God. Oh, here's another Jesus alert, huh? The good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, puts himself between the danger and the ones that God wants to protect. And so he is willing to do that. He has a desire for these people to be delivered. And God empowered him against the lion and the bear, and now he's going to do it with respect to Goliath. He had a desire to deliver, and then he had confidence. And his confidence was well placed because he did not have confidence in his own strength. He didn't have confidence in his military training. It doesn't like, oh, okay, just let your training do it. No, he just had confidence in God. It is well placed. And this is what David says right directly to the face of Goliath. The Lord saves not with a sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. pretty brave, pretty bold, but the confidence is not a, it's a well-placed confidence. Now, thirdly, David had his reasons. I mean, it's his resources. He had the reasons. Now he has the resources for the battle. Now, this is the point in the story where the Spirit of God had departed from Saul. But now who has the Spirit of God visited? David. And with the power of the Spirit, he's able to do anything that is required. And, no wonder Saul is all shook up. The Spirit of God is not with him. No wonder he doesn't step up and say, okay, Mr. Goliath, I'm our best warrior, and I'm going to stand against you. Well, now, David did not need to be some knight in shining armor when you've got the full armor of God on your side. You see, it's what's shining on the inside as opposed to what shines on the outside. He's got the best armor going. It is the Spirit of God living inside of him. And now this is going to be a test of faith for David. What is he going to trust in? Well, he refused Saul's offer of armor. Saul says, hey, you need to be protected. Hey, put on my armor. Well, it just didn't fit. It wasn't right. He hadn't trained in it. He's just not able to move in it. You know, Saul's a bigger guy than David is, and it's just not working out. And instead, he wants to be armed with God's resources. You know, don't we sometimes get that temptation to use Saul's armor in our lives? The ways of the world that seem so much more powerful, so much more glamorous, so much more the way to go, rather than a humble and a simple trust in God. And you can go anywhere with that, with the Spirit of the Lord. And you can own, all you need is your sling and your smooth stone. And he had his staff in his hand. It's all he had. And he is ready. He enters the conflict with a concern for the honor of God that is ablaze inside of him. He went in total confidence that the outcome would be dependent upon the character of God. Isn't that what the outcome depends on for us? Are we aware of that? Are we just kind of thinking of that all the time? Well, let's make one more point. Okay, and that is that David had a greater son, and his greater son is Jesus. And we're going to see Jesus just for a moment in that cosmic conflict. You see, there is a giant that he has to face. David's greater son entered into that cosmic conflict against the giant of sin. He defeated that Goliath on Golgotha. And he went one for all, one person representing the totality of humanity and coming against the one who is continually harassing and challenging and berating the armies of the living God, the archenemy of all humanity. The victory of just this one man, that man being Jesus, can free us all and free us from that enemy, Satan. And he, that Satan, that enemy, will be bound. Now, the resources of Jesus were not found in any earthly weaponry designed to kill. He seems like he is that underdog. And if you, by to all outward appearances, Jesus is that underdog. But he is filled with the zeal for God. He is filled with the power and the Spirit of God. He has that divine, uncompromising love that would die for us while we were still enemies of God, while we were still sinners. And when that battlefield is finally cleared, there's blood all over it. But it isn't the blood of enemies that he killed with a sword, but it is his own blood that was shed. That is the blood that has saved us. It is the blood that was shed in absolute, total, uncompromising love for us. And just so you know, he knew you already. He knew your name back 2,000 years ago. He knew you had a need. And so he says, this is for you. Put your name in there. This is for you. This is for you. This is for you. And of course, he won the battle. And it is that very blood that he shares with us, his body, his blood, given for you. Wow. What an incredible thing. Peter writes this about that when he says, you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but get this, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. You know, brothers and sisters, every day, every moment, we can take in, we can personally appropriate, receive, accept these blessings. And it's not only the blessings that we receive through the victory of Jesus Christ over that Goliath who tries to stand against us in our lives. Now he empowers us as well. So that you can be like Jesus Christ, because you see the weapons of our warfare, they are mighty in God. They're not carnal. They're not earthly. No. And to the eyes of the earth, what you bring, it doesn't seem like a whole lot of anything. But you can bring the uncompromising love of God to those who are in your lives. Do you know that there are people out there that don't know Jesus and don't know that good shepherd and don't know what has been done for them? And so you get to be out in that world. You get to share with them. You get to express the love that Jesus has placed in your hearts for them. And you can lead them to that place where there is, finally, the victory. That place where there is, for each one of us, forgiveness of all of our sins, where we become the children of God. What greater privilege is there than that? You see, he gives to us everything that we need. He gives us the readiness. Jesus had the readiness for the battle, and he says, I give you that readiness. Jesus had the reasons for the battle, just like David did, and he gives to us those reasons. He gives us that zeal for God, that desire to deliver others, and to know that our confidence is always well placed when it is in him, and the resources of the battle, because the very same resources Jesus used, he lets us use as well. We are winners. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We need to be aware of that continually, that we have already won through Jesus Christ. He is the one who beat down that enemy, and he says, now, I'm sharing that with you. Go share it with others.